Please be seated. And Judith is going to come and read from God's Word, the Bible, church. A letter of the Apostle Paul to the Christians in a town called Corinth. And you could look out for the harvest connection in our reading.
Found on page 1145 on the Bibles, sitting in your pews next to you. Reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarrelling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? What after all is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants, through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labour. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Thank you very much indeed, Judith. Now then, to have a short reading from Mark's Gospel, words of the Lord Jesus teaching about his kingdom, and he does it in two parables. Who can tell us what a parable is? Somebody shouted out there, it's a story. A story with a meaning. Well done, Steve. I think I recognise your dulcet tone. A story with a meaning, yes. A parable, it puts two things side by side. It says, think of this as if it's a bit like that. So here's two made-up stories that Jesus tells which have an important meaning for us about Jesus' kingdom. What it means to live with Jesus as our king. What Jesus' rule and reign is like for us. So Vivian's going to come and read from Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 26 to 43. And if you're looking in the Pew Bibles, it's on page 1006. Mark chapter 4, verse 26, page 1006.
Jesus also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn. First the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. Again he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet, when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So let's have the first slide out, Shirley. Harvest. We're giving thanks to God today for all the food that he gives us and all those who help to produce that food. So let's think about a farmer trying to grow a crop. What are some of the things that are needed if the farmer's crop is to get to my dinner table? What has to happen? Yes, Matt. Okay, it's going to need watering. It might need watering, mightn't it? In this country it might not, but there could be some sort of irrigation system, gets water out of the fields. Yes, absolutely. What else is needed to grow a crop? Any ideas? What if you were growing something in the garden? What might you need or do, Jono? You certainly need the seed. The seed is indispensable, isn't it? We're going to come back to the seed. That's really important. Yep, other things grow in other ways, I believe, but seeds often needed, yes. What else might the farmer need to do to grow a crop? Or there might be some problems which his crop might have that he could try and do something about. Abby. Get rid of the weeds, okay. There might be some weeding to do or some treating of the ground to stop it. You can tell I'm not a farmer or a grower here, really. Yes, there's something to deal with the weeds, maybe. There could be other problems. Has anybody ever found lots of holes in the leaves of the things they're trying to grow, or maybe in their tomatoes or something? So you might do something else about that, mightn't you? Oh, yes, Jonathan? Pests, yes, there's some kind of pesticide. You might need to treat it or find some kind of grub to eat, the thing that's eating the thing you don't want it to eat. Yeah. There are probably other things to do, aren't there? You might have to do something even before the planting. Fertilising, yes. You might need to feed the ground. You might do something to feed the plants, maybe. Yes. Anything else? Sorry? Sunshine, that's needed. Not much we can do about that, yes. I suppose you might have a heater in your greenhouse or something. So, let's assume that the crop is growing beautifully. That's not a lot of use to me, is it? If I'm hungry and wanting my lunch, there's a whole load of other stuff that's got to happen. Combine harvest, bring it in, harvesting it. So now maybe it's in a barn. Yes, then it's got to be packed. So now it's in a barn, a beautiful packet. Tractors. Tractors might well be involved. Yes, excellent, yes. Jesus says in his parable, doesn't he, a man goes out and scatters the seed. This, I think, is perhaps how seed might be sown in a modern way, using a tractor, if my Googling is correct. So the stuff now is beautifully packed up in the barn, and again, I'm still hungry. We need HGV drivers, absolutely, and maybe petrol or diesel fuel, absolutely. Okay, so there's actually an awful lot, a lot of people that goes into helping to provide our food, doesn't it? We're thankful for all those people who help to grow and produce and provide our food. But the Bible emphasizes, of course, that God made all things, and that it's God who gives the growth. Remember that line twice from our letter from St. Paul? It's God who gives the growth. We depend on him in the end for absolutely everything. Let's have the next slide up, Shirley. Here's the beautiful wheat harvest. And this is what Jesus talks about in our first parable, isn't it? And he actually doesn't emphasize all the things that need to happen for the seed to grow. He rather downplays or ignores that. Let me read it again to you. A man scatters the seed on the ground, and then night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed grows and sprouts, though he doesn't know how. It's a miracle, really, that seed should go from one seed to a fig to wheat. Or an apple seed should go from a tree to hundreds, maybe even a thousand apples from one tree in a good year. So science can explain something about how that happens. But really, it's a great miracle that God does. It's God who gives the growth. Jesus says, all by itself, the soil produces corn, first the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And then the harvest. What Jesus wants us to focus on is the power of the seed. Amazing power in that seed. And Jesus, speaking about his kingdom, the seed is a picture of his word, the good news about Jesus which we have in the Bible. And Jesus is saying there's great life-changing power in the good news about me. God's word can give us meaning and purpose and identity, forgiveness, salvation. It can grow and bear fruit in our lives and transform us. It can transform whole societies. It can change history. Yes, Paul says, someone needs to plant, someone needs to water, someone needs to tell someone the good news, someone needs to teach them and encourage them and help them. But there's great, great power in that seed, in the word of God. So this should encourage us to go back to our Bibles, to go back to the good news about Jesus, because there's life-changing power in it. It can grow and bear fruit in our lives. And it should encourage us to sow that seed, to share it with others. So back to the seed, back to the word, share the seed, and pray to God to give the growth. It's a miracle when someone comes to trust in Christ, when their life is changed, and we need God to do that by his Holy Spirit to change people. And then Jesus tells this next parable. Let's see the next slide, Shirley, where Jesus talks about the mustard seed. He says that a really small seed looks so weak and dead, really. And it's sometimes like that with the Christian faith, isn't it? People might not always realise the power in the Bible, in the good news about Jesus. Or think of Jesus dying on the cross as a common criminal. Most of his followers have run away from him and deserted him. It seems like complete defeat and failure and death. But God is saying that seed, that good news, that death of Jesus is really powerful. God can bring new life even out of that. So, next one. That tiny mustard seed can change into a mustard tree, a mustard plant, the largest plant in the garden that even the birds of the air can come and nest in. Jesus is saying, all the nations are welcome. Anyone who can will put their trust in Jesus is welcome to come to him. There's room for all. There's great power in that word. And of course, what Jesus said has come true, hasn't it? The church has grown amazingly around the world and down the centuries and continues to do so. There's great power in the good news of Jesus, in the Bible, in the message about him. So as we give thanks to God today for the harvest, for all who produce our food, to God who ultimately gives it to us, let's return to our Bibles, to the good news about Jesus. Let's share that message with others. And let's look to God to give the growth. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for all your love and kindness to us. Thank you for all those whom you use to feed us and care for us. We thank you for farmers and growers and packers and distributors and all those many people we don't always think of who provide and care for us. But above all, we thank you for making us, for making this world, and for giving the growth. We thank you for the seed of your word, which sometimes is ignored or overlooked or seems dead and lifeless or foolish or powerless. But we thank you for the great power there. Thank you for Jesus' death, which has overcome sin and death and hell, and which brings new life. We pray that we might go again to your word, to the good news about Jesus, and that we might find life-changing power there. Give us your salvation and forgiveness and peace and hope and meaning and purpose, we pray. And bless us as we seek to share that good news with others. We pray that you might be pleased to give the growth for Jesus' great name's sake. Amen.